we'll be looking at Mark 9, verses 28 and 29. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." This is the last message on Mark 9, verses 19 through 29, where we see the boy that has been healed by Christ. The disciples had tried to cast this demon out of this young boy. This young boy, it says in verse 18 of Mark 9, "And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I bear with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." The disciples had tried to cast out this demon, and they were not able to. They had failed to deliver the child, and now they ask Jesus why they failed. These men were concerned about their spiritual failure, and they should have been, and we should be. The answer that Jesus gave them is both simple and also telling. His answer is that these men failed because they lacked spiritual discipline in their lives. Spiritual discipline. He tells us in verse 29, nothing but prayer and fasting. Prayer is a state of close communion with the Lord Jesus. Fasting speaks of a lifestyle of total submission and surrender to the Lord. These men were not communing with God as they should have been. Neither were they as surrendered to God as they should have been. And as a result, they lacked the power of God in their lives, and they could not cast out this devil. The disciples did not fail because they didn't believe. They believed it, right? Or they would not even have tried to cast out the demon from this child. They believed they could cast out the demon, and when they failed, they were humiliated, they were amazed, and they were dismayed. Their problem was that they believed in the wrong things. They believed in the wrong things. They failed because their faith was in their words. In their words and in their rituals. The rituals they used, and their faith wasn't in God. It was in their technique, in their rituals. Faith in the ritual. Faith was what they had, was in what they had done before. They had prayed before. They had healed before. What happened was their faith became in themselves, faith in their own faith. These men failed because they weren't leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ for the power that they need. Christ tells us in the beginning of verse 19, "O faithless generation, O unbelieving generation," has to do with their faith. We fail in the Lord's work. We fail in the Lord's work. We lack His power for the very same reasons. We lack the power of God in the modern church because we lack spiritual discipline. We're no longer a praying people. We're no longer a surrendered people. We're no longer a people who walk in total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We're trying to cast out demons in Jesus' name. We have the formula. We have the ritual, but as the disciples in the text, we lack the power of God to get the job done. That's the state of the modern church. I'm not saying you can't get people into a church. people can pack our churches. We look back to the glory days and we rest on what the church did before. We follow their techniques. We think we can have the power of God because we pray a 5-minute prayer. We think the fire of heaven will fall down just because we're saved and doing a few religious things in our lives. The truth is, there will be no power, there will be no glory, there will be no revival in the church until God's people learn to trust Jesus Christ and Him alone for what they need. And what do we need? First of all, we need to pray. I'm referring to prayer that seeks the face of God, seeks the will of God. I'm referring to prayer that assaults the throne room of God, that hold on to the horns of the altar and say, I'm not giving up. I don't care if this takes weeks, days, months, years, decades. I'm not giving up. Have you given up on that prayer? Prayer assaults the throne room of God. It's persistent. It's insistent. It's consistent. It keeps at it. It knocks and knocks and knocks and refuses to be silenced until the answer comes. I'm talking about the church returning to the days of getting serious with God, seeking His power. You think it's not true about prayer meetings? Call for a prayer meeting at your church. See how many people show up. Call for a food feast, and you see how many people turn up. There'd be quite a difference. We need to pray. We need to be serious about our prayer. We're commanded to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. That's exactly what it means. Pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1. Then He spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Far too often, we lose heart. We give up. We give up. Many times, we give up. And it shows that we weren't really serious in the first place. If you want something bad enough, you are not giving up. You are not giving up. You will keep at it. The Lord's promised us. In Jeremiah 33:3, call to me. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I will show you great and mighty things. You want to see great and mighty things? It's not another program. It's not another technique. Call to God. He'll answer you. He'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Isaiah 65:24. The Lord says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I'll answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. Before they call, call on me. I'll answer you. Show you great and mighty things which you do not know. The Lord has promised to hear our prayers. He's promised to answer our prayers. Look at Matthew 7:7-11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. See that word, knock? You don't know, but it goes, knocks one time. You knock, and you knock, and you knock. If you were outside and saw the person's house on fire, you'd be pounding on that door. You would just go, okay, they didn't answer, I might as well leave. You would be banging on that door like crazy. You wouldn't be giving up. There has to be a sense of that in our prayers. But usually our prayers are, Father, we pray you save Aunt Mary, Aunt Sally, and Uncle Harry, and I'll see you later, I gotta go. Is that your prayers? We're commanded to pray without ceasing. Genuine, faithful praying is the key that will open the door for revival and power in this modern age. This kind can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. What does that mean? What about fasting? Be surrendered. God cannot bless and use a church that's not surrendered, that's not separated from this world. Today, many think, oh, well, if we become like the world, that'll win them to Christ. That'll win them to Christ. Let's try this technique. Let's try this management technique, this business technique. 2 Corinthians 6. How about we try this? 2 Corinthians 6, beginning at 17. Therefore, come out from among them. Be shepherds, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, notice, beloved, he's talking to the church of God. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's some people that are surrendered unto the Lord. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness. We must be a surrendered people. We must be a separated people. It's God's will that we place everything that we have, everything that we ever hope to have, at the throne room of grace and mercy. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I beseech you, I'm begging you, therefore, brethren, you in the family of God, by the mercies of God, because of God's mercies towards you, that you present your bodies, you give them a present, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is not a crazy thing that Paul is asking in the text. This is not a crazy thing that I'm asking you in this message today. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that for this purpose you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. Far too often, we're being conformed to the image of this world, to the techniques of this world, to the mindset of this world, to the quote-unquote success of this world. We're following the world in many, many ways, in the ways that they think, and their idea of quote-unquote doing business. We're not in business. We're serving a mighty God who is able to accomplish his purposes if we follow his techniques. And Christ tells us quite plainly in the text today what the technique is. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. We're to place everything we have, everything we are, everything we hope to be before the Lord. We need to pray. We're commanded to pray. We must be surrendered. We need to become totally dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. Until we reach the place that we understand that the power of God does not come because of our preaching, our singing, our bands, our working, our manipulation of people and things. The power of God rests on us when we lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we abide in him. John 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The cure for what ails the modern church is found in our Lord's words to the church at Ephesus. But most people, they don't like to think about that. Everybody likes the church of Philadelphia. in the book of Revelation. But there's good things being said. Well, there's a few good things said to another church too, but the Lord also has a rebuke for them. And I would ask the question, does this apply to us today in the modern church? Does this apply to you and I today? Simply ask ourselves this question as we close with Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you've tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You've persevered, you have patient, and you labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. People would say, oh, hallelujah, that'd be great to be a part of a church like that. But look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Unless you repent. Do you need to repent today? Do I need to repent today? Does the modern church need to repent today? And the answer is yes. Repentance is a daily thing. Some people think repentance is I raised my hand at an altar call, got saved, and that's it. Repentance is a daily thing. And the truth be told, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you find yourself repenting. Because the closer you get to the Lord, the more you see how Christ-like you're not. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Remember how this study started off a few messages ago. In Mark 9, verse 18, where it tragically tells us what happened. That this boy had been brought to the disciples, and the father explained, one in the crowd explained, wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, but they could not cast it out. They could not cast it out. So I spoke to your disciples. I asked them that they should cast it out, but they could not. What a tragic statement. What a tragic statement. When people come to us and ask us about Christ, and ask us about Christ, can people say, after they've been around us or been in the congregation that we're in, that the power of God is in that place, the power of God is with them people, that they serve a mighty, wonderful God? Or do people leave saying, I went to that person for help, I went there for help, I went there for fellowship, I went there for love, I went there for hope, I went there for peace, I went there for acceptance, I went there for Jesus, and the people could not. The people could not tell me about him or what he's done for me or prayed for me. And they could not. Has God spoken to you? about what you need to do? Has he spoken to you about your faith or the lack thereof? Has he spoken to you about your prayer life? Has he spoken to you about your surrender? Has he spoken to you about how much you need to depend on him? If he's spoken to you, you need to hear his voice and do what he's telling you to do. Has the power of God fell upon you during this message? Has the Holy Spirit grabbed in the hold of you saying, yes, son, yes, daughter, that's what you need? Or maybe you're not even a son or a daughter yet. Has he spoken to you about salvation? That you need to come and you need to be saved. I've delivered to you the burden of these verses. I've delivered to you the burden of my heart. It's time to do what he's calling you to do. Time for me to do what he's calling me to do. I'm to preach and teach the word in season and out of season. I'm to pray. I need to pray. I'm commanded to pray. I must live a surrendered life. I need to become totally dependent on the Lord for everything. And we all need to do the same thing. All of us are being conformed into the image of Christ. So let us be about our Father's business, which is being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that these things would be true in our lives, that you would grant us the faith that this would be true, that you would give the very thing that you've commanded us. And Father, we thank you for all that you do in our lives and you are doing. And Father, may we return to our first love, which is Christ. Very often we get caught up in every other thing but Christ. And Christ just becomes an addition to, as opposed to everything else around us need to be an addition to Christ. And may Christ not be an addition in our lives, but may Jesus Christ be everything in our lives. For he is worthy. Amen.